All right, let's turn to Psalm 103 this morning. Psalm 103. Are you ready to receive the word?
Yes.
Amen. Thank God, this is one of my favorite psalms. I can read the whole thing, but we're going to start out. Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And we could just stop right there and go on. Go on that. You know, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Today I just want to focus on that phrase. Like David says here in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Don't forget His benefits. Don't forget what He's done for us. Don't forget what He has provided for us. And that's tempting to do. In the sense that, you know, not that it completely leaves your mind, because I, you know, every one of us, if we've heard the Word of God, it's not that we completely forget that Jesus is God, or that we completely forget that, you know, He died on the cross for us, or that we completely forget that He has provided healing for us. Or like it says, that He's forgiven all of our iniquities, that He redeems our life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. It's not that we literally forget those things. As somebody came up and asked you about those, you probably have a quick answer. But practically speaking, in our life, don't let ourselves get to the place where we act like they're not true. That's different. Because even though we know something up here, the pressures of life come, things try to squeeze that word out of us, the word that's been implanted in our hearts, the word that we've heard, it tries to squeeze these circumstances and the world system, the devil, our flesh, they try to squeeze the word out of us to where, practically speaking, we act as if we don't know the truth of God's word. We can parrot it, we may be able to answer the questions, but practically speaking, it's not affecting our life. And that's just part of living as a Christian, is that we need to stir ourselves up to be diligent to remember the things that God has done for us. It's a process, and it's a consistent thing. There is no autopilot switch in the Christian life. You know? There is no altitude you get to where you hit the autopilot switch and, okay, now it's easy sailing the rest of the way. Until I get to where I'm leaving, you know, leaving this earth, I just put on cruise control and then I'm going. There is no such thing. If we think there's any such thing, we'll be deceived and we'll get beat up before long. And it may even look like there's such a thing. There may be even look like, you know, you might have times in your life where you think, well, I'm not really doing anything. I feel like I'm doing all right, but I'm not really, you know, I've kind of backed off. You know, the devil will sucker punch you and try to knock you upside the head with that kind of stuff. But if we'll just be diligent, especially when we don't feel like these things are true, if we find ourselves behaving and acting like something that we've heard that we believe is true in the Word is not true, that's the point where we gotta do what this Word says. Forget not. Stir ourselves back up. Stir ourselves back up to remember what God has said. Thank you, Lord. He says He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. So the things that we know about God first come from the Word of God. They're written down for our benefit. Somehow we've heard them. One way or another, they've gotten into our minds and our hearts to begin with. You know, we didn't get them by osmosis. It didn't just happen that somehow thing, you know, God, we all have a obviously we have a need for a Savior, and we every human being knows intuitively that there is a Creator. You have to override that knowledge or fill it, you know, deceive your mind into thinking something else. But every person knows that. But the knowledge of God's Word, it doesn't just happen to get in our understanding, in our minds at some point. It has the Word of God has to get, it's all based on the Word of God, these truths. It doesn't matter if your neighbor told you about them. It doesn't matter if somehow you heard them in church. It doesn't matter if you read the Word, you know, just point blank in a hotel room. Somehow it all originated with the Word of God. This is where we get these truths. This is how we know that these things are true. And so that we need to come back to the Word, and there's different ways to do that. All Scripture, let's read 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. That sounds pretty good. See, it's the Word of God is given, and it's profitable for doctrine. That's for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, the Word of God is given to us so that we'll be complete, thoroughly equipped, so that when we go through life, we're ready. You know, if you're equipped for a job, that means you have what you need. You know, if you work for a company, you know, it doesn't matter what area that company, you know, is in. If it's a company that builds houses, if you're thoroughly equipped to build the house, that means you have the equipment you need. That means you have the architecture, the plans you need. That means you have the people with the know-how to get the job done. That means somehow, whether it's you or whether you're subcontracting things out, you're equipped to do the job. You have people that know how to put the electrical systems in. You know how you have people that can put the plumbing in. You know, you have people that can put the roof on. You have people that can build square walls. You have all the equipment. You have the hammers or the guns or whatever you need. You're equipped to do that job. You know, if it's a baseball team, they're equipped to handle, to be able to hit a curveball coming in. They're equipped to hit a fastball coming in at 99 miles per hour. They have the equipment to do what is before him. Well, before them. Well, as Christians, the Word of God is what equips us. What gives us the ammo so that we can be equipped for life and equipped for this life that we live on this earth. It's the Word of God that gives us the ammo and the equipment to do that. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Word is where everything comes from. Now we can read the Word. One thing that we can do to stir ourselves up, to remember, is to read the Word of God on a consistent basis. If we'll read the Word, you know, it's good to just read the Word. You come up with your own plan to read the Word. You come up with what fits the way you live, but you come up with something that makes sense to you, but it's good to put it in front of us on a consistent basis. It's good to put the different parts in front of us, because you may have not read something for a long time, and then you come back and, oh yeah. And you know, every time you read the Word, it's different, because you're different. Because your life circumstances are different. You know, you could have read something last year and you were going through a certain condition. Now you read it this year and you see it differently. It speaks to you differently. But you're remembering what the Word of God says. It's amazing how the Word of God jumps off the page and the Holy Spirit quickens it to get you what you need. Amazing. You can get what you need. God makes sure, you know, you're nourished. You just put the Word in front of you. It's amazing how just the thing you'll need is in front of you when you're reading it that day. You couldn't have known that, but God is speaking to you through His Word. He's being faithful to equip you for what you need through His Word. That's a way you can you keep yourself from forgetting, from acting like the Word isn't true. You see it again. Oh, yeah, that's true. This is true. I see it in the Word. I see that God has said this. You know, I see that I was tempted to slip over here, but that's true, and I'm coming back. It's right there in black and white or red. You know, God's Word is here. Let's turn to Joshua 1:8. Forget not. If we can just get through life and just keep our focus on Jesus and what he's done and not start acting like the word of God is not true, man, we're successful. Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate," or the statutes of God. This is the whole word of God are the statutes of God. And we take it all and complete and it balances everything out. But at this point, all they had was the law, part of the Old Testament at the beginning, the law of Moses. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." See, he's telling Joshua, don't let it depart from your mouth. You should meditate on it. He says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Part of our life as a Christian is just keeping it in front of us. Keeping it in front of us. Keeping the word of God in front of us. Just because we've heard it doesn't mean we know it. Somebody said it like this: you only know what you do. You only know, in other words, when you say, the only things you truly know are what you've incorporated into your life. Now some people say, "Well, I know that, I've heard that." That doesn't mean you know it. Are you doing it? Is it work in your life? That's what you know. You know, I know a 15-year-old kid could have read about driving a car and say, "I know how to drive a car." Never driven a car, real car in his life. Maybe taken, we had those things pretty archaic now, but just it had a like movie screen and then all these little stations with people driving, and you react to whatever's on the screen. But I had never actually driven a real car. Well, I could say I know how to drive a car. No, I don't. There are so many things that come up in driving a real automobile than in that little demo. But we only know what we do. And so God says, keep it in front of us. Don't forget. One of the ways to not forget is to keep the word in front of us. To keep it in our hearts, in front of our eyes, and in our mouths. To meditate just means to mutter. Just keep it coming out of your mouth. Even when it, doesn't look like, if you find yourself not acting like it's not true, a good way to do it is just to start speaking what is true. Well, let's turn over to 2 Timothy. Yeah, let's go over to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. So the Word of God is the beginning. I mean, that's obviously what we're stirring ourselves up to remind, So putting the Word before us is one way to bring ourselves into remembrance. And another thing is, just like we were just talking about, is just to speak the word out. Really, however we need to stir ourselves up. It's a familiar verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy. Let's go back to verse 3, actually. He said, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you," he's talking to Timothy, "being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And then he says, this is very familiar, but this is in the context he's saying, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." See, he tells Timothy, obviously Timothy's going through something or has a reason to be stirred up or encouraged. He says, therefore, he says, I am persuaded that the faith that was in your mother and your grandmother is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. This is the same thing with us. God's saying to us, I'm persuaded, Jim, or I'm persuaded. You put your name in there that the faith is in you. Therefore, stir up the gift that's in you. And sometimes you just have to do that yourself. You can read the word, but through whatever way, you know, if it's speaking it out, meditating, just muttering it out. See, if you know what the word of God says, sometimes you just need to go back, pull it out, and read it out loud. Or if you have it, you know, memorized or have it in your heart, just speak out the word. Know the word of God, this is true. Remind yourself. Stir yourself up to remember what God has said in His word. And, Timothy's a pastor here. Nobody's exempt from doing this. Nobody's exempt from, you know, like we said at the beginning, there is no autopilot. Nobody's exempt from coming back and stirring yourselves up. And sometimes you're the only person, in fact, you're the best person to do it. Because I can't come into, well, I could, you know, maybe once or something. I might come into your living room and stir yourself up, but 99% of the time, each of us is going to have to stir ourselves up one way or another. If we read the word, the best way, or one of the best ways, is if we're able to do it ourselves. If we're able, because the whole world could be against you, or all circumstances could be against you, but as long as you come back to the word and you speak the word out, God's with us all the time. And if we'll remember that and we'll be diligent just to stir ourselves up, there, then we can't help but succeed. It doesn't matter what's going on, but if we're depending on something else, regardless of what it is, somehow to get us stirred up, to make me feel good, make me feel like the word's true, that's not nearly as good as us believing that the word is true for ourselves and stirring ourselves up and going back. Just like Paul said to Timothy here, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. Thank God we just stir up the gift that is in us. Now let's go over to Hebrews 10. Just ways of stirring ourselves up, just ways of keeping us from forgetting what God has done. Keeping us from forgetting the good things that God has done. Hebrews 10, 24. Actually, go back. Let's read verse 19 and go forward. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So let's go back to verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. These people were tempted to give up, you know, to go back under Jewish law and to give up what they've heard in Jesus. They're being pressured. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. How do we hold fast? Things that we're talking about. We remember what the Word of God says. We stir ourselves up. But then he also says in verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. To come together in a setting like this. It's another way. When we come together and we sit and listen to the word, you know, it's another avenue for us to stir up and to forget not what God has done. You know, have you ever been? I know all of us have. You know, you're going through something, or just you're going through life, and stuff is unclear, whatever, and you can come to church and just be reminded, put your, you know, through worship, through the word, through whatever, just be put back and you get an answer, or you get refocused and you get back, you're with people of like faith and you get back to where you needed to be. See, that's something God has put in place. That's another avenue. God has put that in place so that we can be, so that it's just another tool to equip us in the Christian life so that we're successful, so that we come back to the Word. It's just a constant thing that we're being encouraged by other believers and by the gifts that we all bring. You know, maybe it's something that somebody says when you're talking to them before or after service, or maybe it's a sermon, or maybe it's the worship. Whatever, it's all focusing on Jesus. When we come back and focus on Jesus, you know, we take our eyes off the problem. Like we said at the beginning when we were praying, the junk that fills up, tries to fill up our minds all week. It tries to crowd out truth, tries to crowd out what we need to be thinking on. You know, we put all that stuff aside, and for some time we just focus on Jesus. Not that we don't read the word, like we said, not that we're not stirring ourselves up. It's just another avenue to keep ourselves from forgetting what God has done in our life, from forgetting, you know, where we're going, what we should be doing. Thank God. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Actually, Philippians 3. Let's go to Philippians 3. If we come out of here with one thing today, it's just to forget not what God has done for us. And basically the way to get back there. When we find ourselves to forgetting. Philippians 3:1, he says this, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Then he goes off, you know, on another direction. But he's saying, for me to write the same things to you. And we're going to read some other verses coming up here. You know, some people are looking for a new revelation all the time. And you know, Paul said, not that we don't grow in God and we don't grow in Christ, but the things that are going to put us over in the earth, put us over in our Christian walk, are usually the basics, are usually just, I mean, Christian life is not that hard in theory. It's really just putting God first. I mean, Jesus summed it up. I asked him, what's the most important command? And he summed up the whole law and said, basically, to love your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That sums up everything. All those books and all these statutes and whatever. If you do this, you're doing well. We're the same way. If we know Jesus, think about it. If we've been bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are now righteous before God. Boy, you talk about if this is the gap between us and God, I mean, Jesus has filled it. That's a thing that we could never do, not even come close to doing. I don't care, you had a million years to do it. You cannot do that. Jesus did that, and then we are walking out his plan on this earth. Anything we do, he has a plan for us, and we're supposed to do things, but you know, compared to what Jesus has done, the foundation of what he's done, it's minute. So we, on that foundation, if we'll look to him and put him first, and if we put him first and keep our eyes focused on him and keep focused on the fact that he loves us, then we won't have a problem loving other people. And we won't do things that would cause us harm or cause our family harm or cause other people grief, because our eyes are focused on Jesus. And we will just by nature do things that please him. And if we'll just do that, I mean, everything pretty much falls out of that. Now, there are teachings and doctrines and things that can help us and equip us. But man, if we just get that right, wow. And Paul says, it's not tedious for me to write the same things to you, to remind you. We're going to read, you know, Peter says, in the verse we're going to read, to remind you of the same things. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to keep reminding you. If we, you know, we never go back to the verse of Scripture. If I bring up a Scripture, you've heard, I've heard this. Man, if we ever have that attitude, I don't care who's preaching. We probably haven't heard it. We can never, ever exhaust God's Word. You know, we have the same, we see the same thing. That's like, well, I've read this chapter. We come up to the certain verse, and all right, you know, we've all done this, I'm sure. We come up to certain part of Scripture and we just kind of start, our eyes glaze over and we just kind of start, well, I've heard this. I've seen this. I know what this means. See, we're missing out at that point in getting what God is telling us today for our circumstance. Have you ever, I know this, it probably happened to every person in this room, you're reading a verse of Scripture and you see it, and you've seen that Scripture, you don't know how many times, but you read it and say, I've never seen that before. I don't know how many times I've read that, but I never saw that like this. And Holy Spirit, he speaks something to you that's different. You get a revelation, and you've seen it over and over, but you've never seen how it related to something else or whatever. That's stirring yourself up. You know, that's just remembering what God has done, going back to the Word and seeing these things. It's not tedious. In fact, when our flesh doesn't want to look at the Word or doesn't want to, you know, stir ourselves up, that's when we need to do it. That's a sure sign if we don't want to. We really need to. We really need to remember, because we're on the verge of just, you know, we're sliding somehow. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Now Peter says this. See, he's just been talking about, you know, several things, and he says in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. He's talking about just doing certain things. In verse 9, he says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. He's just stirring them up. And then he says in verse 12, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. I mean, look at that. Verse 12, he says, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, to remind you. And then he says, though you know and are established. You're not a newbie. You're not somebody that's never heard the Word of God. He says, you are established. You know. But I'm going to be diligent to make sure that you're reminded. Because it doesn't matter if you're if you know and are established, you can still forget. You can still start acting like you don't know. And Peter's saying, I'm not going to let that happen. I am going to make sure you're reminded of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Verse 13, yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to keep on reminding you, to keep on bringing us back. We keep on reminding ourselves, but another, we come together and we remind ourselves of the truth. And then verse 15, he says, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder. That even after I'm gone, he says, I'm not going to be here for very long, but even after I'm gone, I'm going to make sure that you have somebody to remind you. I'm going to make sure I have somebody that somebody reminds you of these things. Why? Because we need it. Every single one of us needs it. There isn't a person in here that is so spiritual that we don't need to be reminded of the things that we need to walk in. You know, baseball players, they take batting practice almost every single day. Why? They forget how to hit? No, they want to stay sharp. They want to be able to hit the ball when it comes in. It's the same thing. You could use that analogy in every profession, in every sport. We go over the things that are really affecting, you know, our core of what we're doing. And if we'll do that, you know, sometimes it's like we've gotten off, we look back, oh, you know, somebody said it like this. You know, when you get to a certain point in life, it's tempting to quit doing the things that got you to that point. Like, I don't need to do them anymore. You know, you have a daily routine and it's got you so far. You know, not that we don't change those things, but there's certain things that we do that are part of our character, and it's tempting to think we get to a certain point and we don't have to do them anymore. We're beyond that. That's a deception in a lot of cases. We stop doing those things, our whole foundation starts breaking down. So it's important for us to remember, important for us to go over the basics, even though we're established and even though we know them. Let's turn over to chapter 3, 1 Peter. So he says this, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." So he's saying, I'm stirring you up. That's what I'm doing. I'm stirring up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us and the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers, and he goes off on some other things. But he says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us and the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I'm writing these things to you to remind you. I'm writing these two things to you so that you won't forget. I'm stirring you up because we all need to be stirred up. And that's really, you know, all we wanted to focus on today is just the fact that we want to remember what God has done. Whether it be, you know, we want to be putting ourselves in front of the Word. We want the Word, just continually be putting the Word in front of you. It doesn't have to be, you know, you can listen to the Word in your car. You can download that free. MP3, the whole Word, free. You can listen to that while you're at your computer. You can listen to things that about the Word. You can listen to sermons. You can listen to the, you know, so you can listen to the Word actually on tape. You can read the Word. You can quote the Word. You can have the Word put on little cards, something that you're specifically trying to get in your heart. You can put it on your refrigerator, or you can put it on your bathroom mirror, that we can stir up ourselves just when we are alone, which is a lot of the time when we're going through, that we can remind ourselves. We can get that Word going through us. We can meditate on the Word. We can speak the Word, stir ourselves up. We can hear other teachings on the Word. We can read books to stir ourselves up. We can come together, as you're supposed to, like in this setting, so that we're stirred up. But just so that we don't forget and we don't start acting like the Word isn't true. And if there's one thing we get out of today, just to know that God, that walking the Christian life is not automatic. And that if we'll just look to Jesus and continue to stir ourselves up, keep hearing the truth, keep ourselves focused on the truth, then we'll be thoroughly equipped and we'll go right through. We'll do right what we need to do in life. But it's not automatic.